Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries and the GCM viewers and all children of God who attend this worship online. This is the 29th lecture on Genesis. Starting from today, I'm going to tell you about the seed of a life that God puts into a man. It's supposed to be explained when we get to the part in Genesis where God created them. Since it's beneficial to you when applied to your every life, I present the explanation at this time. If you listen carefully, you will find that it's not difficult to receive the blessing and that that's not difficult to receive the treatment. Even if you are crippled, if you truly listen to the world and enter the level God wants, He will heal you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you may always live a healthy, active, and blessed life in all things through this message. Genesis chapter 2, 7 says, Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. It's so mysterious. God created a man from dust and breathed life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. This verse describes the sin when God the Father created the first man, Adam. Let me briefly break down the process. As God formed each part of the man of the dust from the ground, the mass of the dust turned into the man's body. It was possible because the original light continually came out from the hands of the God as He formed man from the dust. As He formed the head from dust, the head was not a clump of the dust anymore, but it was an intact head. Also, as He formed the body of a dust, the body became the whole completely the shape of a man. Therefore, before God breathed life into him, Adam already had the form of the perfect human being. Figuratively speaking, it's like a body after the spirit and the soul have left it. When a person dies, that is when the soul leaves. It's called a body or corpse. The body remains the same, but as soon as the soul escapes, the inside becomes corrupted and deteriorated. Then God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He became a living being. His heart begins pumping, blood started circulating, and all the cells in his body came to the life and started to function. His brain began working. He could see and hear. He could also move his hands and feet. Now, what is the breath of life that God breathed into the Adam's nostrils? You can find the functions of this breath of life in the Ezekiel chapter 37. Though it was seen in a vision, its spiritual principle is the same. God put the skin on the dry bones, made the flesh grow back on them, and covered them with the skin. And as when God put breath in them, the dry bones came alive. Even when the two witnesses who were murdered during the 7 years of tribulation come back to the life, the breath of life entered and works. Revelation chapter 11 and 11 says, But after the 3.5 of days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and the great fear fell upon those who were watching them. As you can see, the breath of life is fundamental in bringing about the work of life. Then what is the breath of life? I explained that before God, the origin existed in the original space as in the form of the light. containing the sound or voice. For human cultivation, he cohered at the vertex of the spiritual realm and divided himself into the God Trinity. From the one original light, two more lights came out. He became three lights in total, and each light put on a certain form. In this way, the God became the God Trinity. Even though God Trinity put the certain forms, the base is still the original light containing the sound. This original light contains infinite power and wisdom. This power of God that is contained in this original light works as the breath of a life. Dear brothers and sisters, in a previous lecture, I told you that God put all the genetic information into the DNA in the nucleus of the cell. I also compared the DNA in a nucleus with the production of an automated factory. Once you turn on the switch of the factory, the automated production lines in the factory produce the products. The state in which God formed Adam from clay was like completing the automated equipment of the factory called the human body. And the act of the God breathing the breath of life into him was like a turning on the switch. If it's electricity that gives a life to a machine, it's a breath of life that gives a life to the human body. If you turn off your TV, nothing will appear on the screen. When you press the power switch and turn it on, the screen is brighter, making a sound, and the people in the video are seen. God had created Adam from the dust, and the power of God was put into the nucleus of the cells, which is the focus of the life on the body of Adam. As the breath of life, which is the fundamental power of God, went into the Adam, he came to life and began moving. Everyone, you need to understand this process well. Only then will what you hear now become your ability. And when solving the problem, you will be able to answer, oh, I can do it this way. You can apply it to how to meet the souls and your members who are suffering. God called this Adam, into whom God put the breath of life, a living spirit. A living being, a living spirit, then there's the opposite, right? Aren't there also dead spirits? Now, I'm telling about a living spirit. Even though he had a fleshly body made from the dust, the fundamental power of God was given to him, and so he was an immortal spiritual being. The skeptical may ask, how did you create the human body, God, like this out of the clay and the breath of life into it so that the blood circulated and moves like this? This is what Almighty God did. People have the ability to make TVs and cars. Even humans, creatures, create such a diverse things. We melt iron to make everything from small watches to electronics to cars. So what can God not do? Like a human, melt the iron and make something small to big, and make it move. Human beings do like this. So Almighty God can do everything. There's nothing impossible to God the Creator. How many different types of vessels do people make from clay? People made the celadon and the white porcelain worth thousands of dollars a long time ago. That's why God can do everything. God led Adam, a living being, into the Garden of Eden in the second heaven, which belongs to the spiritual world. According to the word of God, Adam became fruitful and multiplied. God created Adam from dust on the earth, breathed life into him, and led him to the Garden of Eden, the second heaven. Just as Adam was cut off from here to the second heaven, so we too are cut off into heaven, and the Lord was into the clouds as well. As God commanded, Adam had many children in the Garden of Eden, multiplied and ruled. The life that God breathed into Adam was automatically passed on to Adam's descendants, born in the Garden of Eden. The life breathed by the God continued to be passed on to Adam's descendants. Whenever Adam had children, God did not breathe the life into them, but it was automatically passed on at birth. When make a car, you just set up the production line, flip the switch, and everything is produced automatically, don't you? This seed of the life given by God is created spontaneously when a man's sperm and a woman's egg combine to conceive the life. So, all of Adam's descendants in the Garden of Eden are living spirits. People in Eden are living spirits. Since Adam's descendants who are in the Garden of Eden are all living spirits, they are affected by the breath of life in all the course of their lives. As their body parts develop and grow up, the nucleuses that generate each part of their body produce only the best things to the breath of life. There's no such a thing as a mistake in the cell division and the resulting genetic problem. Therefore, in the Garden of Eden, no deformed or deformed or weak babies are born, but only so-called good babies are born. In addition, since they are under the influence of the breath of life, they grow up well and they are healthy. Therefore, men in the Garden of Eden are tall and good-looking. They are all attractive and handsome. Men have a strong frame. As adults, they are at least 175 centimeters tall. Women are a little shorter than men. Both men and women have a milky white skin, and their hair is a golden blonde. The men's hair grows to the nape of a neck, and the women's hair grows up to the double the length of that of the man's. Once the hair grows to this length, it stops growing and its length remains the same. Men don't grow mustaches or beards. Their skin and the hair shines. They have a perfect look from head to toe. Their look is faultless. Their skin and hair is shiny. And they have a flawless appearance from head to toe. Men on the earth have a beard, but men in the Garden of Eden do not have a beard. In the spirit world, nothing that is not needed is created. So they have a very clean faces. At the first glance, they all might seem alike. Of course, individuals' difference does exist among them, but still all of them have the best of all traits. The men in the Garden of Eden grow until they just pass the age of the young men. At some point, they stop growing, and after that, their bodies do not age, and they live in that state. It's possible because the original power of God has the control over the nucleus that fundamentally adjusts the body. Let me tell it again. The fundamental power of God dominated and governs the cell nucleus, which regulated the body of the people in the Garden of Eden. However, the situation changed after Adam and Eve committed a sin. God recalled the breath of life from Adam and Eve and sent them to this earth that belongs to the first heaven. In the Bible, they are driven out from the Garden of Eden. As Adam and Eve came to the earth, they had just a little bit of the breath of life left. Only a faint trace of it was left. The life that God breathed into their body is taken away, and only traces remain in them. Because if God takes away even that, their descendants here would not be able to find God or seek God. It then remained inside the nucleus, which is the most focal and the central figure of the body, as in the form of the small seed. This is the seed of life. Because Adam and Eve had the seed of the life, they were able to remember their life in the Garden of Eden and seek and believe in God. However, according to the flow of the flesh, they became old. After they came down to this earth, they lived 930 years, and eventually their flesh came to see death. However, since most of the breath of life was withdrawn, as they lived according to the fleshly flow in the fleshly space, they became old and eventually died. Yet still the life of 930 years on this earth was very long compared to the lifespan of today. Generally, the lifespan of the man was very long before the flood of Noah. This is because upon a mental light, original light, that God surrounded the earth within the first day of the creation remained it until Noah's flood. In addition, evil didn't prevail in the beginning of a human cultivation, and the people's hearts were relatively good. Therefore, even though they became old, the speed of aging was far slower than that of today. Dear brothers and sisters, I explained that the breath of life was naturally inherited by the descendants of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. However, the descendants of Adam and Eve on this earth do not receive the seed of life from their parents. For this reason, God gives the spirit to the baby in the sixth month of its conception. So babies conceived on this earth receive the spirit given by God. It's created automatically in the babies of Eden, but the spirit should be given by God to babies on the earth. God put the seed of the life in the spirit and the plant in its nucleus of the cell, which is most central part of the father's body. When you open your spiritual eyes, you can see that the seed glows blue. Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. People have a heart that longs for eternity because God gave them a spirit that is the heart that longs for eternity. He has also set eternity in our hearts. It means that God gives everyone the seed of the life. Since people receive the spirit of will, the seed of the life is contained, unlike animals, they can vaguely feel the existence of an afterlife. They seek for God and absolute being. They also long for heaven. Unless they meet God, however, the seed of the life remains as a seed, and they don't see any work of a life. It's the same as if a plant seed does not sprout. It's just a dead seed. No matter how long the years are that pass by, if a proper environment is not set, it just remains as a dead seed. Chances are that it might even remain as a seed for thousands of years. Once the environment is properly set, the seed sprouts and grows up. However, not all the seeds sprout. According to their kinds, their lifespan is different. Once the period passes by, they die. Even if the lifespan doesn't reach its end, chances are that their vitality may disappear due to the external causes. No matter how good environment is that is set, they don't sprout. Those who farm in the field may know this. Even if you put many rice seeds in water, not all of them sprout. It's generally known that the lifespan of a rice crop seed is only 2 to 3 years. Therefore, if you put the 4 or 5 years old rice seed into water, it will not sprout. In order for rice seed to sprout, a proper amount of the water, temperature, and the air must be provided. In this way, an appropriate spiritual environment is needed for the seed of life that God planted in man to sprout. Everyone is born with a seed of life, but some people die without being able to sprout it. While others do sprout at some point. In addition, in various, depending on each person's spiritual environment and efforts, such as those who sprouted but stopped growing a little, and those who continue to grow until they reach a full size. There are people in your family who died without their seeds sprouting. They didn't seek and accept Jesus Christ, so they didn't receive the Holy Spirit who makes the seed sprout and grow. However, you are those whose seed sprouts. However, not all of your seeds are sprouting well. Some seeds have stopped the growing. Why? If you do the works of the flesh, the seed will no longer grow. Furthermore, if you have a work on the body that leads to death, the seed will stop growing and your faith will also stop growing. In that situation continues, the seed will eventually die. On the other hand, as the seed continues to grow and your faith steadily grows, there are people here who have entered the Spirit and are heading towards the whole Spirit here. Now, what is the good environment where the seed of life can sprout and grow? I said that God takes a small part from the original life that contains the power of God and the planet. Therefore, the original attributes of the seed of the life are spirit, goodness, truth, and the light. The nature of the seed is a spirit, goodness, truth, and light. Therefore, good hearts become a good environment for seeds of a life to sprout. In other words, a good heart becomes a good condition for the seed to grow. Simply put, being born again by the Holy Spirit is that the seed of the life begins to sprout. However, you must first receive the Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of your sins to be born again by the Holy Spirit. You must receive the forgiveness of the sins first. People with a good heart believe and accept the gospel faster. People with a good heart will believe if you show them credible evidence like this. Or happened in this church. They open their hearts and admit, saying, oh, that's really true. Jesus' providence of the redemption through the cross itself is the crystallization of the goodness and the love. Jesus, the fundamental being of the God, came to this earth in the flesh to save sinners. Even though he had no sin, he hung on the tree like a cursed person and shed his precious blood generously. Anyone who truly has any goodness in their hearts will be moved by the goodness and the love of Jesus, who sacrificed himself completely. Good-hearted people learn about God and talk about the sea of the life like this, and when learned, God gave his only begotten Son as a propitiation for us. They believe it, do not say, how can something like that happen? They don't say like this. Moreover, when they see the power of and the wonders of God and the show that everyone from the human to animals have the same facial structures and say that God is the creator, they say, Amen. That's why good people are saved. When good people do not know Jesus, they are saved by the judgment of their conscience. When good people hear the gospel like this, they repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, confessing that they are sinner, and they receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. They receive the Holy Spirit from the Father God as a gift. As Acts chapter 2, 38 says, Peter said to them, Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of the Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, repentance should always come first after accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior. Only then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift after confessing, yes, I was a sinner. After receiving the Holy Spirit, you receive the forgiveness of sins. And your name will be written in the book of life in heaven. He's a child of a God who accepted Jesus in what year, month, and the day. She's a daughter of a God is recorded in the book of life. From then on, God becomes their father and they become his child. And you, children of a God, must live like his child. From then on, you must fulfill your duty as his child and truly qualified as his child. You should not live as you please and still do things that Satan and the enemy devil like. So the verse says, be baptized and receive the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This explains how to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who comes in this way sprouts the seed of life in you. This is why God sends us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to the seed we received after 6 months of the age and make it sprout and grow. The seed of life, which had been wrapped in a hard shell and still as if dead, now begins its life activity. Regarding this, the second half of the John chapter 3:6 says that which is the born of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. In this way, the Holy Spirit helps us abandon sin and change your hearts to the truth and makes us reborn every day, transforming us into the spiritual people. So how could the sea of the life be awakened in the Old Testament era before the coming of the Holy Spirit? People in the Old Testament were saved by the keeping the law. It was a time when people were recognized as a righteous if they kept the word of God in their actions. If they kept and practiced God's word, God considered that righteousness and awakened their seed of a life. So Enoch, Elijah, Moses, Abraham were those who reached the whole Spirit. They did not live in the age of the Holy Spirit, but they entered into the Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible, you will see that Enoch, Elijah, Moses, and Abraham didn't have evil at all. They only loved the people with a good heart. In the New Testament era, people received the forgiveness of their sins through the blood of Jesus and became righteous, so the Holy Spirit enters their hearts. Jesus shed His blood, we receive the forgiveness of our sins and become righteous. That's why the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. Chapter 1 of the Genesis also says that God will not be with the fleshly people forever. But now, those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, receive the forgiveness of their sins, and become a children of a God, are no longer people of a flesh. The Holy Spirit has been given to them to revive their spiritual life. So the Lord offered Himself as a propitiation to connect God and the Holy Spirit with us. As the Holy Spirit entered into our hearts, He awakened the sea of life. On the other hand, the day of the Old Testament, God awakened the seed of life from the outside of a man who was considered righteous by his law-abiding act. There are people who have not heard the gospel and saved through the judgment of the conscience. Such a people's conscience is full of goodness. Although a good conscience is not the heart of the Spirit, it serves as a good foundation for the Spirit given by God to operate. Despite this, whether it's Old Testament or the New Testament, it's good if your mind is filled with goodness and the truth as much as possible. However, the human mind is more complicated than you think. There's good and there's evil, and each person's mind is different due to the essential area passed down from their parents. By the way, everyone has a free will. If you see, hear, and choose the good things on your own, you can form a good heart. And the more you choose evil things, the more evil your heart becomes. The Word of God tells us to abandon the lust of a flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of a life. This is not from God. Therefore, God tells us to abandon the lust of eyes and do not choose or even look at evil or wrathful things. However, the more you look at it and make choices, the more your heart becomes evil. Therefore, no one can make an excuse saying, I didn't meet God because I was born with a bad heart filled. Why? Because he made himself evil through his own free will. After the seed of the life sprouts, it must grow. It's natural. Once a plant sprouts, it needs to be continuously supplied with water and the sunlight to grow. Likewise, after the seed of the life sprouts with the Holy Spirit, it must continue to receive the spiritual water and the light to grow. In other words, a person's spirit can grow only when he or she receives the Word of God as a spiritual food. With the help of the Holy Spirit, our spirit can grow. God placed the seed of the life in the spirit and planted it to the core of the human body. As the seed of the life wears up to begin the work of a life, and the spirit that covers the seed of the life begins to grow up. By the way, a seed of the plant dies when it's not provided with water, doesn't it? Likewise, the seed of the life not only stops growing up, but also it cannot maintain its life if it's not provided with a spiritual water. And thus Jesus said in John chapter 6, 53, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. In other words, you must always listen to the Word of God, input it as a knowledge, plant it in your heart, and act with the faith. And then you must live according to the Word of God, so that life can grow with you. So the seed sprouted by the Holy Spirit grows. It has to grow more and more and keep growing. Just as a person's baby grows steadily until the age of the 25. However, if the person stops growing midway, he or she becomes crippled. Kids need to keep growing and accumulated the knowledge, which is why they go to school to study and continue to grow. They're being taller until you reach a certain limit and thus continue to grow until you're all early 20s or mid-20s. What is it to eat the flesh of the Son of a Man and to drink his blood is a spiritual sense? It's to put the Word of God, which is spiritual water, into the heart and to walk in the light. Now, 1 John chapter 3, 9 says, No one who is born of God practices the sin, because his seed abides in him. It mentioned that those who are born of God, in other words, those who receive the salvation through the Jesus Christ, will not practice sin in his way of life, because the sea of the life, sea of the God, is inside them. After the sea of the life planted by God awakens, its life can be maintained by the continuously supplying it with the spiritual water, the Word of God. And after awakened by the Holy Spirit and the sprouting the seed of the life, so we must keep and maintain, listen, and accumulate the knowledge of the Father of God, the words. So, the Word of God tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. We need to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit by the living according to the Word. But some people are quenching it by sinning. And thus Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You must do God's will. If you don't do it, it's useless. You won't be able to enter heaven. I hope you listen carefully to these words and understand how to solve your problem, what you need to be healed, how to tear down the wall of sin, how to grow the sea of the life, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and enter the Spirit.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.